Hello, this is Anvati. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Friday, June 20th, and coming up in today's episode, a messy power struggle at Sun TV between the Marin brothers. Pakistan Deputy Prime Minister reveals why they asked India for a ceasefire. Shubman Gill's baseball reply to reporters ahead of Test captaincy debut in Anderson Tendulkar Trophy, and Iran's reported use of cluster bomb against Israel. DMK MP Dayanidhi Maran and his brother Kalanidhi Maran are set to face off over control of the family-owned Sun TV network, India's largest listed media organization with a valuation of over Rs 24,000 crore as of June 2025, and a hugely influential digital and broadcast platform in Tamil Nadu. Dayanidhi Maran has sent legal notice accusing Kalanidhi of a premeditated fraudulent scheme to seize control of the company after the death of their father, Murasoli Maran, in 2003. The notice also names Kalanidhi Maran's wife Kaveri and six others, alleging breach of trust and financial mismanagement in taking over the network. In an exchange or filing on Friday, Sun TV said that all acts have been done in accordance with legal obligations and noted that the issue dates back 22 years to when it was a closely held private limited company. The company said media reports alleging illegal acts were incorrect, misleading, speculative, and unsupported by facts or law. Dayanidhi Maran claims that in September 2003, Kalanidhi, who held no shares at the time, executed a plan to illegally allot 12 lakh equity shares at a face value of Rs 10 each to himself, despite the company's value being 2,500 to 3,000 rupees per share even then. He says this was done without consultation, proper valuation, or consent from other shareholders. Dayanidhi Maran is demanding that shareholding revert to its 2003 structure, which included allotments to their sister and Tamil Nadu Chief Minister M.K. Stalin, whose father, former Chief Minister Kamaranadhi, was Murasoli Maran's uncle. Kalanidhi Maran has not responded yet. Pakistan's Deputy Chief Minister Ishaq Dar has said the country was compelled to request a ceasefire with India last month after the latter struck two of its air bases in Rawalpindi of Punjab province as a part of Operation Sindoor. Operation Sindoor was in fact a response to the 22nd April Pahalgam terror attack, which killed 26 Indians. Appearing on a TV show in the country, Dar said, India attacked the Noor Khan air base in Rawalpindi and Shorkot air base in Punjab province. Following this, Pakistan reached out to the United States for intervention and took assistance from Saudi Arabia. The Noor Khan Air Base is one of Pakistan's most sensitive military compounds, housing both Air Force operations and VIP transport units. Dar recounted that at around 2:30 a.m., India launched missile strikes on the Noor Khan and Shorkot bases. Within 45 minutes, Saudi Prince Faisal called him, he says, saying he had just spoken to U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio and asked if he was authorized to contact India's External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar. Dar agreed and Faisal conveyed Pakistan's readiness for talks if India agreed to stop. On the night of May 7th and 8th, India's Operation Sindoor destroyed infrastructure in 9 terror bases in Pakistan and Pakistan-occupied Kashmir in response to the April 22nd Pahalgam attack. The operation escalated tensions, leading to strikes and counter-strikes. U.S. officials were reportedly already in touch with both sides in anticipation of conflict. While maintaining a neutral public stance, the U.S. confirmed a firm message to Islamabad, urging the use of military hotline for de-escalation. By the afternoon of May 10th, after several Pakistani tactical moves were repelled, Pakistan's Director General of Military Operations, Major General Kashif Abdullah, placed a direct call to his Indian counterpart, Lieutenant General Rajiv Ghai. The call at 3:35 p.m. EST was later confirmed by Foreign Secretary Vikram Misri. Both sides agreed to stop all military action on land, air and sea with effect from 5 p.m. that day. Pakistan, however, repeatedly violated the agreement within hours. And more importantly, all these revelations are in contrast to Donald Trump's claims that he single-handedly mediated a peace deal between India and Pakistan. As India has been claiming, the two countries directly talk to each other without U.S. intervention. Shubman Gill will make his debut as Team India captain as the young team takes on England or the Baz Bowlers In the first test, the athletes starting Friday for the much-anticipated Anderson Tendulkar Trophy, formerly known as Patodi Trophy. Gill will usher in a new era of Indian cricket following the retirements of Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma. There has been much discussion about Gill's captaincy style and how he will handle the pressures of leading India overseas, that too for his debut. During a pre-match press conference, an English journalist asked Gill, who is now a young captain at age 25, if his captaincy would be inspired by Bazball, which is a very aggressive style of test cricket named so after Brendan McKillam, England's coach, nicknamed Baz. Gill replied, and I'm quoting, "You're going to have to wait till August to see what kind of style it's going to be." A response that drew laughter in the press room. Ahead of the high-stakes test, Gill stressed the importance of taking 20 wickets to win test matches. He acknowledged that while runs remain vital, it's the bowlers who often determine results in the red ball cricket. He said, I'm quoting, "If you want to win a test match, you can't win without taking 20 wickets, no matter how many runs you score." That's been a key point of discussion. How we are going to take 20 wickets. The Indian team is considering a balanced playing 11. Gill added, and I quote, "There might be a case where we go with 6 pure batters, a bowling all-rounder and 3 or 4 premier fast bowlers." India will hope for a strong start with bowlers expected to play a decisive role in English conditions that could differ slightly from typical summers. Gill said the team is carefully assessing the playing combination. Meanwhile, the test began earlier today. However, the venue isn't one that has been hopeful for India in the past. India has played 7 tests at this venue over the years, but won only 2. Maybe the new Gen Z and Gen Alpha players with a new captain can register a 3rd. Iran fired at least 1 missile at Israel carrying cluster munitions, the Israeli military said on Thursday, marking the first reported use of such weapons in the 7-day-old escalation of a decades-long conflict. Israeli military officials provided no further details. Israeli news outlets reported that the missile's warhead split at an altitude of about 7 kilometers, releasing around 20 submunitions across a 5-mile radius over central Israel. One of the munitions hit a house in the town of Azor, causing damage but no reported casualties, according to Times of Israel's military correspondent Emmanuel Fabian. Cluster bombs are controversial as they indiscriminately scattered submunitions, some of which may fail to explode and remain lethal after a long conflict even ends. The Israeli military released a graphic warning civilians about the unexploded ordnance. Brigadier General Effi Defrin, Israel's military spokesperson, said, and I'm quoting, "The terror regime seeks to harm civilians and even used weapons with widespread dispersal to maximize damage," unquote. Daryl Kimball, executive editor of Arms Control Association, noted that the cluster munitions caused wide area destruction, especially in civil areas, and could increase the number of unexploded explosives remaining in the conflict. He said Iran, whose missiles are often imprecise, should be aware that cluster munitions would likely hit civilian rather than military targets. Both Iran and Israel, along with countries like the US, Russia, and China, declined to join a 2008 international ban on the production, stockpiling, and use of cluster munitions. In 2003, the US supplied Ukraine with cluster munitions for use against Russian forces, while Kyiv and Moscow have both reportedly used them. Notably, Israel's initial attack in Iran, which called unprovoked by Iran, caused the latest escalation where so many lives have been lost on both sides. Some international leaders have called for a ceasefire, like French President Emmanuel Macron, but some, like Donald Trump, has chosen to side with Israel and has claimed he might even make the USA jump into the conflict, but no one can confirm if the president was serious. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with IndyTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with IndyTV with Apple, Spotify and the IndyTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.